Critics plan to appeal yesterday's court ruling upholding Pennsylvania's law requiring Pennsylvania voters to have photo IDs this November. In the meantime, there's a battle brewing in another key swing state, Ohio, over early voting. Much of this litigation around election law is based on claims of voter fraud from Republicans and voter suppression from Democrats. With us to untangle the ongoing lawsuits is, once again, Doug Chapin of the Center for the Study of Politics and Governance at the University of Minnesota. Doug, welcome back.
Thank you, Robin.
And first, were you surprised at the Pennsylvania ruling? Because when we spoke, you reminded us that there'd been so little fraud in Pennsylvania that the state wasn't allowed to even raise the issue of fraud when they went before the judge to defend the law. He agreed with their final defense, the one they did use, which was that the law wasn't too inconvenient, you know, to require IDs. But they weren't even allowed to talk about fraud. So were you surprised at the ruling?
It was a remarkable ruling. Not as much that I'm surprised. It was really very thorough, and I think what the judge did there was rely very heavily on the Supreme Court's opinion in the Indiana case from a couple of years ago, in which he said that even concerns about fraud were enough if a legislature believed that ID was necessary, and being unable to find, at least in his opinion, enough evidence of inconvenience or disenfranchisement, as plaintiffs claimed, he was not necessarily willing to uphold the law, but at least not enjoin it before November's election.
Right, and when the critics of his decision say that they proved in studies right before his decision that there were hundreds of thousands of largely inner-city people in Pennsylvania who don't drive, don't have IDs, and don't have access to their birth certificate to get some of the IDs that are offered. But what do you think happens now? I mean, they've said, those critics, they're going to take it to the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court in Pennsylvania, split down party lines, 3 Republicans, 3 Democrats. You're sort of looking a little at tea leaves, but what do you think happens?
Well, certainly, plaintiffs have said they'll appeal. You know, folks who know far more about that court than I do have said that it looks like it's pretty evenly divided. I would be surprised if the surprise would be if that deadlock on the court breaks one way or the other. But I think that the likelihood that the ID law in Pennsylvania will be enforceable and enforced on election day is certainly greater today than it was yesterday.
So Democrats in particular are scrambling to get people the IDs. In Ohio, there are 2 things going on, both about access to early voting. The first is the Obama administration asking a judge to decide if military members have special access to early voting. Well, we understand that judge could rule on this any minute. Is that correct?
The judge there has basically said he will rule soon, but hasn't said when exactly that will be. The issue there basically is the legislature cut back on early voting, I think partly because of cost concerns and other things, but left it available to military and overseas voters the weekend before Election Day. And what the Obama campaign has filed to do is to make that same exemption available to all voters before Election Day. And the fight is really about, one, is it okay to treat military voters and other voters differently? And two, if it's not okay, what do you do? Do you allow everybody to vote until the Monday before Election Day, or do you somehow cut back on the military exemption, which is what set off the political firefight between the 2 major presidential campaigns?
Right. The second issue in Ohio is a decision from the Secretary of State last night that all the counties there will have the same early voting hours. Give us the background there.
Yeah, as another offshoot of that new legislation in Ohio, counties had the ability to extend early voting that last weekend, but only if their county boards of elections, which are divided 2 Democrats, 2 Republicans, voted to do so. And so what was happening in practice is that in Democratic counties, the boards were deadlocking and therefore were not being able to extend the hours, whereas in Republican counties, they were not. And so the hours were being extended. And the concern was raised that you were going to have unequal opportunity for voters depending on which county they lived in. And the Secretary of Ohio has tremendous power to issue what are called directives, which have the force of law. And he issued one of those last night, which basically says, no one is going to be able to have early voting on weekends or later evenings, but will have uniform hours across the state.
Okay. Let's just check in briefly on Florida because, of course, we heard about the brouhaha over Florida officials going through voting lists looking for names of non-citizens. They claim that they had the right to do that. They only found 13 names. And part of this was a fight between the Justice Department and Florida over voter lists from the government. So where are we on that?
Well, most recently what's happened is that now the Department of Homeland Security has made a database available of non-citizens that states can use to check against their voter lists. And at least two states right now, Florida and Colorado, have said that they intend to do so. I think the fight now shifts not so much to the courts as it does to state local politics, where in both Florida and Colorado, you've got local election officials who are decidedly unenthusiastic about that non-citizen match. And may do what they can to resist it.
And just briefly, what other election law battles are you keeping an eye on?
Oh, I mean, where aren't there election law battles?
Oops.
We're waiting for a federal court in Washington, D.C. to rule on Texas's new voter ID law, whether or not that will be in place. Minnesota is fighting about a voter ID amendment, which will be on the ballot, and we're waiting for a court to rule on whether or not that vote will even be held in November, and really everywhere else across the country, everything from rerunning elections to fights over voter lists. This is the period, these 6 to 8 weeks before Election Day, when election officials get especially nervous because parties and candidates and lawyers get involved, and this is when the laws get the most uncertain.
But is this different from other uncertain 6 weeks before elections? Do you think it's hyper this year?
No, I think, you know, every year it feels like this. I mean, we tend to go through this every election. I think, in some ways, I think the current rhetoric is a lot harsher than I remember in recent years. But this kind of uncertainty and, what I call the pork chop between pit bulls feeling that election officials get in election years, it's not unusual.
Doug Chapin of the Center for the Study of Politics and Governance at the University of Minnesota. You have to wonder why some of these volunteers in particular do this. It's so hard to be the pork chop. Doug, thanks so much. And sorry about there's a little gremlin on your line, but live radio. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. Back with a truly incredible documentary about a truly incredible story. A man who passed himself off as a missing American child. It's quite something. And that's in 1 minute here and now.